We are all equals in Messiah. And I thank you, O God, for your word. I thank you for Yeshua, who is our Shemesh. He came to serve us. He came to die upon the tree for our sins, that we may have intimate, close fellowship with him. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. In Yeshua's name, amen. Continuing in the series on Shemesh, this is 8.5 or 8.2, as my brother Alan shared today with me. Isn't it a blessing to serve the Lord in every aspect of our life? Shemesh 8.2 or 8.5. Adonai Yeshua, Adonai Abba's servant. The series of intimate encounters. And thank you, Marcia, for having me clarify that and simplify that for children to understand. Intimate encounters with Yeshua, salvation in the Tanakh. This is a Greek word, theophany. It is an appearance by God, Adonai Yeshua, by taking some form, human form, usually a human form, in order to be visible to human beings. Why did he choose that? So that we would recognize who he is. And recognize what? That we have been created in his image and his likeness, whether we be male or female. We've been created in his image to glorify his name. Boy, that's an awesome responsibility, is it not? So that means when anyone sees me at any time, I'm to be magnifying the glory of God. And if I'm not, I'm manifesting myself. And that is the abomination in the eyes of the Lord. Because who am I to reflect? Who are we to reflect? Yeshua. That's sobering. I tell you, that is rebuking to my heart and my mind. And that brings me to the place of true repentance. A sister shared during our worship service, and the Lord said, yeah, go ahead and share it right now. She said, we as a nation, we as a people need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for what has been done, the evil that has been done against the Native American people. And some of you may say, well, I have done nothing. We as a nation stand in judgment. It doesn't matter. God wants us to stand in the gap. And right now, let's just bow our heads before the Lord. Father, we come before you. And the atrocities that have been done to the Native American people are not pleasing in your sight. We ask for your blessings, O God. But Father, we're guilty of the things that have been done in the past. We are part of this nation of America. We've been born in this nation. And Father, we ask right now that your tender mercies would come upon our hearts, that we would show true repentance, that next time when we see a Native American person, the stereotypes that are from Hasatan, we would rebuke them in Yeshua's name. And that you'd give us a heart, take away our stony heart, and give us a heart of flesh that glorifies God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And now fill that heart of flesh with your love and our love for the Native American peoples. Father, we have stolen their land. I remember studying history, O God, of our military taking diseased blankets and diseased food and giving it to the Native American peoples. We took them off their lands and we gave them a brand new deal and said, here's a place, a reservation for you. Don't worry, we'll build you homes, we'll give you new trades, we will teach you our language. But their culture was stolen from them. Their lands were stolen from them. They were butchered, raped, and brutalized. for the greed of our ancestors, of our nation, O God. We now stand and ask, O God, that you would help us repent concerning this matter. That the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, the descendants of the evil that was perpetuated against their ancestors, O Father, we pray, O God, because, Father, I've met many Native American men and women that when they hear the name of Jesus, they believe that's the God of the European white man. They have been betrayed. I pray, Yeshua, you would reveal yourself to them as the great holy God. I pray, O God, that those like up in the Red Lake Indian Reservation and the White Earth Indian Reservation who've been up there sharing the good news, Father, and the Native American pastors who have been up there sharing the word, Father, I pray that there would be inroads as never before and that there would be a rich and bountiful harvest of souls, O God, throughout not only Minnesota, but also all of the United States, Canada, Mexico, Central and South America, this hemisphere here, O God, as all these native peoples have been robbed, raped, and brutalized, I pray, O God, what Hasatan, the lies, the deception that you've allowed to come, I pray, O God, that your will would be done. And that, Father, that there you would add many Native American peoples here. And I know, Father, there are people here who have that as part of their heritage here, O God. And I pray, O God, that your healing balm would come upon our hearts and the hearts of the Native American people. We would not see them less than ourselves in any shape or form. I pray, O God, that your healing virtue would flow. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The only way to get towards God is true repentance. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew. And we're going to be starting at chapter 12 and verse 38. Matthew, same book, one in English, one in Hebrew. As some of the Torah teachers said, Rabbi, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. He replied, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign? No. None will be given to you but the sign of the prophet Yohanan. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the depths of the earth. At death, Adonai Yeshua separated from his body, and he descended into Sheol, to the center of the earth, for 3 days and 3 nights. See, the Father's will was not complete on the death of Messiah. And he went down to go there and to share the good news to those who had died. To reveal himself as the one true Messiah. All those believers of old who had passed on had believed that one day their Mashiach, their Messiah would come. In the Spirit, he descended there. And he revealed himself. And who was there? Sitting on the throne? Hasatan. And when Yeshua appeared, Hasatan fled. When our father Adam and our mother Hava Eve sinned. The authority on the earth went into other hands. God had given our father Adam dominion over this earth. And it was never the Father's will for us ever to die. Now let us turn to Luke chapter 16. And beginning at verse 19. Shimon Kepha answered, "You are the Mashiach, the Son of the living God." Shimon bar Yohanan. Yeshua said to him, "How blessed are you, for no human being has revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. I also tell you this, you are Kepha, which means rock. And on this rock I will build my community. And the gates of Sheol, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you prohibit on the earth will be prohibited in heaven. And whatever you permit on the earth will be permitted in heaven." Then he warned the Talmidim not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 16. I'm sorry, I was still in Matthew. I appreciate that. I love being around all these Bible scholars. Praise God. That was a good word. It talked about Sheol. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. It didn't look familiar to me until I saw that Sheol there. Now we're in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Chapter 16, verse 19. And I'll wait a couple seconds. Because you know what? I wasn't there either. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. "Once there was a rich man who used to dress in the most expensive clothing and spent his days in a magnificent luxury. At his gate had been laid a beggar named Eleazar, who was covered with sores. He would have been glad to eat the scraps that fell from the rich man's table, but instead, even the dogs would come and lick his sores. In time, the beggar died and carried away by the angels to Avram's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Sheol, where he was in torment. The rich man looked upon and saw Avraham far away with Eleazar at his side. And he called out, 'Father Avram, take pity on me and send Eleazar just to dip the tip of his finger in the water to cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire.' However, Avram said, 'Son, remember that when you were alive, you got the good things while he got the bad. But now he gets his consolation here. While you are the one in agony, yet that isn't all. Between you and us is a deep rift that has been established so that those who would like to pass from here, you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered then, 'Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, where I have five brothers, to warn them so that they may be spared having come to this place of torment too.' But Avram said, 'They have Moshe and the prophets. They should listen to them.' However, he said, 'No, Father Avraham, they need more. If someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' But he replied, 'Even they won't listen to Moshe and the prophets. They won't be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" Isn't that really telling? Some people say, well, why do you just read the Old Testament, the Tanakh? Well, our father, Abraham, lived there. He had revelation. He never read the New Testament. He had the Ruach. He walked with God. He knew Yeshua being manifested in the flesh. In this portion here, Father Abraham knows the ways of his children. Notice there are two sons here. One rich, one poor. Both children of our Father Abraham. Notice also in this portion here that one had a hard heart. Saw his brother in pain and misery all his life. A son of God, but had no compassion. Even though outwardly this man could claim, I am a son of Abraham. Look how the Lord has blessed me. Look at all this stuff I own in this life. And yet, he saw his brother and had no compassion. Isn't that truly amazing? We are at that many times in our life. The Lord is prospering us. We're so caught up in the blessings of Adonai. Look how God is blessing me. Remember through the 80s, we began to boast. I'll claim this of the Lord. I'm saying I'm believing God for $1 million. I got to have the biggest church, biggest congregation. I got to have more homes. That proves that the anointing of God is on my life. Who gave this story in Luke? Who's speaking here but Yeshua? What did he say? It is so difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom. God is not condemning riches. Because if you read the Tanakh, who was one of the most wealthy men ever? Abraham. And out of Abraham's wealth, he sacrificed all, did he not? Remember that night he went out to go after his disobedient nephew Lot? He put his life at risk. He put the promise of the Messiah that was going to come from him at risk for the love of his disobedient nephew. What does that say to you and I? How are we to be as sons and daughters of Abraham? Whether you be of a Jewish heritage or a Gentile heritage, you have been grafted in. All my Gentile brothers and sisters here and are hearing on this podcast, you have been adopted into Abraham's family. Because if you notice, we Jewish people are only a small portion of the population of this earth. And what does the scripture say? Yeshua declared, Adonai declared to Abraham, I will make your descendants as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the sea. All the nations, all those who are willing to receive what Yeshua has done and believe not in our own works, but believe in the provision that God the Father has given us for every generation. It's new and it's fresh, just like these young people here. I'm a parent. I have two children. There's ways that they walk and exceed me in walking in the ways of the Lord. Praise God, I'm not jealous. Praise be to His name. But there's areas in their life where they're lacking. What is my portion? My portion is to pray and to intercede. I believe that Abraham here, as he was sharing these words, to this rich man. He was not sharing it out of judgment. He was sharing it from the tender mercies of a father. I can't go to you. You had that opportunity in the former life. You had Moshe. You had the prophets. But you did not listen. I was a living example to you of how a man should walk. I'm not speaking about myself. I'm speaking of Abraham. He sacrificed. He was willing even to take his own son and sacrifice that on the altar. It's good for pauses. I'm not having a senior moment up here, even though I'm 53. But it's good for pauses, for things to sink into our hearts and our minds. There are some machine gun preachers, the way they speak, and that's great. I'm not one. I praise God for them because they can say 50 billion words in 5 minutes. I don't have that capability. Praise be to His name. I believe it was with tears that our father Abraham spoke to this rich son of his. You know that last portion here, it says, but he replied, if they won't listen to Moshe and the prophets, they won't be convinced even if someone raises from the dead. Historically, had Yeshua died yet? No. But you know what's amazing? Yeshua had a friend, and his name was what? Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. Did this rich man's brothers repent? It doesn't say whether they did or not. Maybe by the grace of God, we will meet these five brothers in heaven. These are people. It's not just a story. This is real. Just as you and I are real. Let us continue. Abraham's side, or heart, is where the believers of the first covenant, the promised seed, Yeshua's salvation went to. In Luke 16:22. Let us continue. In time, the beggar died and he was carried away by the angels of Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in Sheol he was in torment. And the rich man looked up and saw Abraham far away with Eleazar at his side. Have you ever been with a dead person? A person that's about to die? I should back up. And they start to see things. I've been with people who are believers and are about to die. And they start sharing about what they see. Sometimes they see individuals. They see angels. They see Yeshua. They see other things. Have you ever been with a person who is a non-believer and they die? There's fear and there's terror. You know what's awaiting them? The demonic horde. Because they did not receive Yeshua. That's what's awaiting their destiny. We choose. We have a free will. Every day, every moment. This all began since the time of Hevel, Abel, the first man who died and was murdered by his brother Cain. There was a deep rift, a great separation, these two places, so that no one could travel to the other side, in Luke 16:26. What was the rich man's final plea? It's found in Luke 16:27-31. He forgot about his thirst. He forgot about the fire of the torments. And notice his heart is now changed. His heart was like stone when he saw his brother, according to Abraham, suffering at his own gates, dying. Now his heart is softened. And his only concern is what? For his five brothers. Isn't it amazing when we see the reality of heaven and hell? We become sober. You know what's amazing? Yeshua spoke more about hell than he did of heaven. Why? Because his Father created hell, not for you and I, but for the fallen angels. Aren't you glad we have an elder brother, Yeshua, who warns us? Have you ever allowed sin in your life as I have, to the point where it would separate you from your fellowship and relationship with God? I have. And I would be lying to you today if I said that's never happened. Rav Shul said this, "Work out your salvation, your Yeshua, with fear and trembling." Oh, brother, that's a negative word. That's the truth. What did Rav Shaul say? He names names. And he says, pray that these individuals will be turned over to whom? Hasatan, Satan, that they may come to true repentance. You want to hear about the heart of Rav Shaul? He declared this, if it would only be that God would allow I be accursed and cast off, that my people may receive their Yeshua, my salvation. Talk about perspective. Are our hearts filled with stones? Are they filled with the love of God? I believe God's going to be bringing people in this congregation that will be like the ones that the Levite and the priest, the story of the Good Samaritan, when they saw a fellow Jewish believer that was beaten and robbed, they had nothing to do with them. Oh, this person, they've just received the judgment of God. Let's move on. I got to go worship the Lord. I got to enter into the tabernacle, into the temple, and bring my tithes, bring my offerings, because I am a righteous man. That's the heart and mind of many who are in the body of Messiah today. But what about our brother and our sister out there that are suffering? Isn't it amazing? Yeshua, after, like Rabbi shared a few Shabbats ago, that Miriam, she took that alabaster and she broke it and poured it over Yeshua, preparing him for that burial. That was her gift. And all those religious, righteous brothers in the Lord said to him, and they scolded her, what have you done? Don't you know that could have been taken and sold for a great price and given to the poor? And what did Yeshua say? You will always have the poor with you. Guess what, people? Are the poor not with us today? What are we doing with the poor? Yeshua said later, he said this, as all the great and the small come before him. And he divides both what? The sheep and the goats. And the goats cry out to him and say, Lord, we don't understand. We did all these things in your name. And he says to them, depart from me, for I don't know you. Why? Because you don't have the heart and the love of God in your hearts. On the outside, you're the sons and daughters of Abraham. And what does he go on to say in that portion there? He says this, just as you have done to the least of them, my brothers. And I'm going to be in trouble right now for the next thing I say here, but my sisters, brethren, you've done unto me. Yeshua came to love us, to reveal God's plan and favor for us. I got salvation. I got Yeshua, and I'm just going to keep him to myself. He's mine. I don't want to share him. Have you ever been there? I've been. As Sister Ilana was calling us to true repentance today, this is not a rebuke, but the altar should have been full. You know what's amazing? We get uncomfortable about certain things, right? People coming down to the altar in repentance is not to be an outward sign. Oh, look at Brother Frank. He went down there. Look how holy he is. That stinks. We are to be a people of repentance. God wants us to walk in repentance, one towards another, but also towards Him and all those around us. This congregation will not continue to grow unless we are all willing to repent and come before the Lord and say, God, I want to die. I want to die to myself and I want to die for you. Aren't we supposed to be like Yeshua? Oh, Brother Frank, I want to walk on water. I want to lay my hands on the sick and I want to raise the dead. Okay. But what did Rav Shaul say? I want to know Messiah in what? Those things? No. I want to know Him in His sufferings and His death. I pray, Ruach HaKodesh, I may not be sharing this very, very clearly. I pray that You'd open up my eyes and my ears that I may hear what the Spirit is saying this morning to us. Father, I don't want to be the same man that I was yesterday. I want to come before You, O God, in true repentance. Not repentance of my thoughts, my ability, but true repentance. O God, You want to pour out Your Ruach in us as never before. You want us to be a people that's going to turn the St. Louis Park and the state of Minnesota upside down. But these temples that stand before You are full of dead bones. I pray, oh God, that You'd breathe in Your Ruach in this flesh, these temples. And anything that is unclean, that, Father, we would stop playing games with You and allow You, just as You allowed the locusts to go in Egypt and devour that was there. That we'd come to a place in our lives, oh God, that it's You, only You, not ourselves, oh God. But You would be exalted. You would be exhorted in everything we do, oh God. That we bring true fruits of repentance, O God. Father, we pray for revival. We want to see the power of God being manifested as we see in the book of Acts. You brought these brothers and sisters, 120, that meet up in that upper room, and they were what? They were praying. And seeking the face of God. Not seeking to be promoted, but seeking the face of God and waiting and hearing what the Ruach was doing. I pray, oh God, right now you begin to cleanse and prepare us for an outpouring of your Spirit and manifestation that the world has never seen. May we be truly poured out as never before. All our old ways, all our old things and schemes, doing things as we've done them in the past. May your Shekinah glory come and descend upon us, O God. Father, we don't want to stand before our Father Avraham in the future and be ashamed. May as we read and study his life, may we be inspired to lay everything aside, to put that which we consider our most precious things on this earth upon that altar. And sacrifice it to your name and to your glory. Father, we thank and we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 39. I feel cleansed. Praise God. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're holy and made complete by the blood of the Lamb. Luke chapter 23, 39. One of the criminals hanging there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself! But the other one spoke up and rebuked the first, saying, have you no fear of God? You're getting the same punishment as he is. Ours is only fair. We're getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man did nothing wrong. Then he said, Yeshua, remember me when you come as king. Yeshua said to him, yes, I promise that you will be with me today in Gan Eden, paradise. The second man discerned who Yeshua was, the salvation, the promised seed of Avraham. He put his faith and his trust in him, Yeshua. What did you notice that was written on the placard above that stake? This is the King of the Jews. Guess who turned their heads and looked at the placard? Just picture that, if you will. Here's one man on that stake. And above him is written the crime and his rightful punishment of death. He looks at the other guy across there and he sees his placard and sees why he's dying. But now both men see that. One believes and receives. And from his own testimony, he believes that this man is the Mashiach. And he rebukes this other man. And he's rebuking him not just to put him down, but he's rebuking him that he may recognize and realize who's dying right beside them. The promised Messiah. The second man on the other tree recognized the promised son of David, the king of Israel. Then he said, Yeshua, my salvation. Remember me when you come as king. Have you ever seen that before? I hadn't. I've read that scripture many, many, many times. Even in his death, by his enemies was proclaiming him as the King of the Jews, and rightly so. The man's eyes were open to his Yeshua, his salvation. He recognized his King. Did he remember what is written of Yeshua? As we turn back in the Tanakh, turn with me to Zechariah 14, 3 and 9. Remember these two young men who are dying on these stakes next to Yeshua have never read the New Testament. Why? Because it hasn't been written yet. So what was God's redemption plan for them? His Word. It's been there from the very beginning. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Then Adonai Yeshua will go out and fight against those nations, fighting on as the day of battle. And on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Don't you mean Rome, Frank? No. Don't you mean Mecca or Medina? No. The Mount of Olives. Where? In Jerusalem. Which lies to the east of Jerusalem. On the Mount of Olives will be split in half from the east to the west to make a huge valley. Half the mountain will move towards the north and half it towards the south. You will flee to the valley in the mountains, for the valley in the mountains will reach to Azel. You will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uriah, the king of Yehuda. Then Adonai Yeshua, my God, will come to you with the holy ones. Just think, these two men at Shabbat school were taught by the rabbi not about Matthiahu through Revelation, but Zechariah the prophet. It's there. If our eyes are open, if our ears are open to hear, if our hearts have been softened. Just think of the time, the investment that that rabbi had placed in that one man's life. And had prayed and interceded that every member of his congregation would know the Messiah and believe the promise of Father Avraham. That was the hope of these rabbis through the ages. What does the rabbis desire today, the ones who truly have a heart after God, to see Yeshua, to see salvation? On that day there will be neither bright light nor thick darkness. One day known to Adonai Yeshua will there be neither day nor night, although by evening there will be light. On that day, fresh water will flow out of Jerusalem, half toward the eastern sea and half toward the western sea, both summer and winter. Then Adonai Yeshua will be king over the whole world. On that day, Adonai Yeshua will be the only one, and his name will be the only name, Yeshua, our salvation. The word of God has been sown. Remember the ground? Yeshua said, the seed sometimes falls onto what? Rocky soil. And other types of soil. And finally it falls into fertile soil. The seed dies and brings life. All of us are here because one died, that we may have life and have life in him. Turn now back with me to Luke chapter 23. This is one book. Luke chapter 23. And beginning at verse 43. Yeshua said to him, "Yes, I promise you that today you will be with me in Gan Eden." It was now about the noon, and darkness covered the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Our Torah portion today had dealt with what? Darkness being felt and lasting for 3 days. See the correlation? The sun did not shine, although the paraket, the curtain in the temple, was split down the middle. Crying out in a loud voice, Yeshua said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And with these words, he gave up his ruach. He gave up his spirit. Turn now with me to Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 2. Remember, this is all one book. We put chapters and verses, made it easier for us to find things. But in God's mind, in God's heart, it is all one book. We cannot understand it fully or have the right interpretation or revelation unless we see it as all one book. Scripture is built upon Scripture. If I stand up here and give you commentary of a man, it's dung. It's worthless. It's a waste of your time hearing. But if I teach you and read Scripture upon Scripture and comment on that, that's the Word of God. You are fed. You have life in Messiah. Otherwise, I'm selling you books and tapes on nonsense. God forbid. Let me get caught up with you. When I was going to Bible college, they always told us to speak very, very concisely, speak very, very clearly. Put it so that the wee babes that are sitting out in the congregation can gain and glean from what you're saying. Simplify. Go slower. Pause. Messianic Jews, chapter 2 and verse 9. And they said at times, be the slowest to get there. These people are never to be impressed in about you. If you're not proclaiming Yeshua to them, His death and His resurrection, you're wasting their time and yours. Because whose kingdom are we building? Whose Talmudim are we encouraging? Who are being taught? Only those who are seeking after God with their whole hearts and minds, souls and spirit. Just like I said yet earlier today, those young people are going to receive the baton from us. It's our responsibility to do everything in our power to sacrifice all that they may be the next generation that turns this world upside down. And if we don't, we've failed. We, not Rabbi and Rebbetzin, we have failed. Because you know what? Those little wee babes, those young children, they are the apple of God's eye. And we're not to do anything that would cause them to be offended by our actions, things we say, things we do, or do not do. We are to esteem them highly and precious, just as Yeshua does. If not, the love of the Father does not abide in us, and we are not truly His sons and His daughters. Chapter 2, verse 9. But we do see Yeshua, who indeed was made for a little while, little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death so that by God's grace he might test death for all humanity. Isn't that beautiful? The very God that created the heavens and the earth, when he saw our father Adam and our mother Hava sin, he said, now I am now willing to go and die for my creation. I'm now willing to send my most precious gift, my son, Yeshua, to die for you. Our father Abraham, as he took his son Isaac upon where? Mount Moriah. To lay his own son upon the altar. Isn't it amazing? Our father Abraham and our father Abba in heaven have the same heart. Willing to give what is most precious to them for us. Now, any time that Hasatan would ever say to you, God doesn't love you anymore, that's a blatant lie from hell. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. I heard one preacher say one time, if Yeshua had to come and die again, he'd do it for you. Think on those things. Meditate on that. Don't be focused on, I can't make my next payment, I'm unemployed, I'm not good enough. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. He's willing to sacrifice everything, his own relationship. One time when I was studying and I was meditating on the time when Yeshua was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, and he prayed these words, Father, if it be thy will, please take this cup from me. That was his humanity crying out. There are those who now teach that Yeshua, Jesus, wasn't fully man. With all our emotion and really knew our pain. But here we see him asking of his Father, is there another way? And in the Spirit in that moment, you know what the rock showed me? Yeshua getting up and running away. What if he did that? What if he said, they're not worth it? The agony of his soul as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, it said that sweat came upon him like blood. He bled for us before he was crucified for us. Does he love you? Yes. Now with that same love and compassion, do we love those who are lost in this world? I tell you, when I was preparing this message, I was knocked all over the room. I've been praying that God would give me a greater revelation of his love, not just for me, but for all my brothers and sisters whose names have been inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life and those who are yet to be inscribed. Where's my heart in this whole matter? Do I truly walk in the Father's love? Is it being manifested? Not where some righteous spiritual way that I think it should be, but do I ever weep? Have I ever come to the point of sweating out blood in intercession for my brothers and sisters in Messiah? I stand before you rebuked. because I'm not there yet. The Lord wants me to end right now. Father, I pray that we would not go into despair. That, Lord, Your love would be revealed in us as never before, O God. Our hearts have been so hardened. We've seen so many violent shows on TV. We watch the news. We hear about a hurricane coming, a tsunami, a tornado. We pray for a couple minutes and we go on with our lives. Thank You, Lord, it hasn't happened to me. That has been my attitude, O God, and I repent before You. I pray, O God, that You would truly give me tears to cry. Make us all like Jeremiah. Jeremiah who? When he saw the devastation that was coming on his beloved Israel and Jerusalem, he said, I wish that my eyes were a fountain, that my tears would flow continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in true repentance. Father, I pray right now that You would give us Your hearts of compassion, of love and tender mercy, O God, that we would be willing to sacrifice all, that Your kingdom would be established in our hearts and our minds first. Then we could turn to our brothers and sisters in Messiah and outside of Messiah and demonstrate Your love as never before. For Lord, You said in Your word this, they will know that You are from Me when they declare these words, behold, look how they love one another. Husband Tim, can you come? Thank you.